Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, I introduced this man of God earlier in the service, but some of you were not here. It's actually a man that doesn't need any introduction to many of us. But just in case, you know, I'll be bringing up Pastor Tokes Oshokoya from Lagos, Nigeria. Actually, he's from many parts of the world, really. But we know him from Lagos, Nigeria. Some of his folks are streaming in with us, I mean, watching us live from England, from South Africa, from different places around the world. You know, so Pastor Tokes and his wife, Sister Philo, they are here this morning. Let's show them some love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, Pastor Tokes. Come on over. Praise the Lord, Pastor Tokes. That's what we call him. He's going to be ministering to us this morning. So, Pastor Tokes, God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Come on out. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead a song now, and by the grace of God, you'll be able to follow. You know, the Bible said they sang a new song. But to some of us here, it's not a new song. All right? My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never, never let me down as I give God my lifetime. We'll sing it one more time. My lifetime, I will give God. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my life, Yakuriva Santa Bakuria Sinda, He will take care of me. One more. Hallelujah. Your word is changing me. Your word is changing me. Is cleansing my mind, correcting my ghost, healing my wounds, and making me whole. Your word is changing me. I sing it in another way.
God's word is changing me. God's word is changing me. Is cleansing my mind, correcting my ghost, healing my wounds, and making me whole.
Sing one song now. You may not be able to sing it with me. It's in vernacular, but Christi mimo Oluwa mi Ifereju Tara yelo Ore uti toni onge mo ma pe o luwa mini onge temi. Christine, oh.
temi ore mi owo o mba mi gbe ni gbagbo o go di do wa ye ka ju Silahande, Rabakusi and Diketabura, Kunje Temi Oremio Omba Mibe Niba Bugu.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brethren. God bless you. Oh, get me. Ore mio omba migbe niba gogo o kudido wayi Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We ask for the teaching anointing to come. And let the spirit of understanding take hold of the people. Let there be healings today. Let there be deliverances today. Let salvation be meted out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't really know where to start. It's like, for me, it's like being in heaven right now. And I'll tell you why. I can see my fathers in the faith. I can see those who prayed me into the body of Christ. I can see all of you sitting down, and I feel overwhelmed with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoa. I have just 1 hour, which I think I've taken some moments of it already. When Pastor mentioned that I should be taking the service, I became jittery. And I'll tell you why. I'm not a 1 hour minister. I am a 5 hours, 8 hours. So I started asking the Lord, what will I minister? Amen. I hardly slept. I kept on turning on the bed. I said, so before I asked that one service should be, I wanted to see at least one service first. So she was, my younger sister was able to show me one typical service, and I said, okay, I got it. I'm going to trust in God. But you see, the first time I met Pastor Yato in Nigeria, okay, he taught us two songs. So I decided I'm going to teach you three. So I've done my job. So it was the first time I had this song, Glory, Glory, Glory to the Lord. Glory, Glory, Glory to the Lord. I remember as I'm singing it, I still remember that day. The old fellowship ground, all right? And I was wondering, who is this man? So confident. And I was just relatively new in the Lord. And let me tell you what I do. I learned this quite early. I would just sit down there and I say, whatever this man, Lord, has, I'll pick it up. Lord, I covet his anointing. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was a time I told my senior pastor, Pastor Ladila, I said, sir, you need to go and seek the face of the Lord. He said, why? I said, everything you got, I've taken it. You will soon be empty if you are not careful. Praise the Lord. And Papa here, I'm sure you don't like to be called Papa. Pastor Julius. I remember it was J.K. Randall Hall. I was less than 2 years in the Lord. And your book, The Unseen World, you remember that book? Boy, that book did a lot of things in my life. It's still, I think I bought two copies at that time so that if anything happens to one, the other one. So I still go back and read it. Amen? And I remember all those pamphlets we used to receive in Nigeria. Amen. Then I saw Pastor Austin here. Yes, I don't know where he's gone to now. I remember the day we were in the queue at the American Embassy. My mom was to go for an American visa, and Pastor Austin were in the same queue. I couldn't understand this man. He was just rabosh kilehanda kabosha. He was just fire. You know, I said, wow, I mean, Jesus, what kind of people are these? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just thank God that I can stand in your midst. Elder James, God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Within the short time, I'll just share one or two things. I will be ministering from the book of Jude. Jude. I normally play a trick of people when I'm ministering. I will tell them that if you're looking for the book of Jude, just go towards around Genesis and then because some people, they have to go to the index to search for it because the book of Jude is somewhere a little bit hidden. Amen? And I've been told that I have to read all my scriptures myself. So, unlike the way we are in Lagos, somebody will be reading while you catch your breath. All those advantages here are now difficult here, but I'll survive. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm reading from the book of Jude, and I'm ministering on contending for the faith. Amen. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now verse 3, that's where I need. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Some few years ago, I had to minister these same scriptures in Portsmouth, United Kingdom. And somebody asked a question, what is the faith once delivered to the saints? And the person was smart enough to say, because if you are talking about the faith, then I immediately think, probably that is the faith that Jesus said, when I come back, shall I find? And I said, you're on the right track. If you come to a country like Nigeria, which most of us are from, on the street like this, you will see at least, sometimes you see 10 churches. Everywhere full of churches and everywhere. And Jesus made a profound statement. When I come back, shall I find faith? Now, the question will be to the mind, an intellectual mind, is that if churches are going to be everywhere, why will Jesus be anxious about whether we find faith? Then we need to find out what is the faith that he was talking about. And I will just share what the Lord gave me as understanding about the faith. I want you to remember he's not talking about a faith. He's talking about the faith. So what is the faith? And if you go to the book of Hebrews, we don't have the time. Usually I take everything, but I'm running for 1 hour. And then 30 minutes already gone. I don't even know how I'm going to survive. Amen. But if you go to the book of Hebrews 11, you will see where the Lord, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, there is controversy over who wrote the book of Hebrews. I insist that it's Paul because the style of writing and everything is there. You will see faith defined not only by words, but by examples of people that have run the race before us. And I saw three elements of faith. I am basically a teacher, so I need to explain by illustrations. I'm not disrupting much of your systems here. And if I've done that, I'm an electrical engineer, I'll fix it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this stand. Do you know why it's stable? Because it has three prongs on which it's standing. Now, I hope those on the other side can see it. All right? The way the Lord taught me is that there are three prongs on which genuine faith that is expecting stands. We are all used to one particular one, which is the faith to receive. Oh, I claim this. I claim that. Faith to receive. But there is also faith to refuse. And there is also faith to revile. What is faith to receive? I don't need to tell you. We all know faith. Oh, I claim this. Lord, it's my portion. This is my portion. All right? But that's all most of what we do in Pentecostal. But what about faith to refuse? If you go to that book of Hebrews, by faith, Moses refused. To do what? Can we quickly look at that scripture? Let's go to the book of Hebrews. I'll show you the three aspects of faith. Let's go to verse. Let's go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he was come to what? Years. By faith, when he was come to years, he matured to the faith to refuse. There are certain things you must refuse. And you refuse by faith. You refuse to get involved in sharp practices. You refuse to get involved in anything that will not bring glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, the Bible said Daniel purposed in his mind that he will not allow the king's meat and everything that the king wants to offer to pollute his mind. That is faith to refuse. But most of the time, we all know about faith to receive. There are certain times you have to take a stand and say, this one, I'm not going to be part of it. Amen. That is faith to refuse. Now, the third one is faith to revere God, to worship God, to worship God despite all situation. Let's go further down. I want to read from verse 32. What shall I more say? For time will fail me to talk of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also. Now, verse 3. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness, were made strong and waxed in flight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's 35. That's why it started getting serious. Women received their dead raised to life again. Wow. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. At that moment, they revere God more than the situation they found themselves. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds on imprisonment. Excuse me. There's this song we used to sing, Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, and Holy Ghost came down. Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, and Holy Ghost came down. That is a very sweet one. But have you been in that situation? Will you sing? Will you dance? That is the faith to revive God, to worship God, despite the situation you found yourself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, listen carefully. We will not bow to this image. We don't know whether our God that we serve is going to come and intervene in this matter. Whether he comes or not, his name be glorified. That is faith to revive. You don't even know what's going to happen, but you say, let his name be glorified. Until those three elements of faith are complete in us, we have not contended. When we still, our testimony is just based on God gave me sugar, God gave me tea. We are yet still on the journey. Amen. In my little experience, we've seen so many things. I thank God that some of you fathers, you don't know how much I cherish the memories of the part you have played in my life. Some of you don't even have an idea. How I sometimes people don't know where I live. Because I'm in Nigeria today, I'm in South Africa tomorrow, I'm in London, I'm this and that. But, and I get to people who say, how did you get to know all these things? I say, you don't know what I've eaten. From where I come from, it's a saying in Yoruba, they say, Onteye ba jeleye magbefo. It is what the bird has eaten that we used to fly. You don't eat in the sky. You come down, eat. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just came back from South Africa and I was explaining this to some person and the person said, I've never had this before. I said, yes, you are hearing. That's why God sent missionaries everywhere. Amen. Faith to receive. Faith to refuse. And faith to revive. And I got news for you. There's a message that Rafizri preached. The faith elects faith tested by blasphemers. I remember I was so young in the Lord then. I think I must have listened to that particular message more than 20 times. At a point, I was almost can quote any part of that message. I remember his statement. He said, gamblers have been employed to trick you. Gamblers. I never fully understand those words until the present time. Brethren, if you go to certain parts of this world, you will meet gamblers masquerading as servants of God. Right now, there is a controversy now whether some parts of the Bible are correct and some parts of the Bible are not correct. Sister Dora is looking at me. You're looking, you're wondering. You will be sirs and masters. There are sleeper cells that had been established in the body of Christ long ago, sleeper cells of the devil. They gained prominence. They even obtained stature. And now they are beginning to manifest. And brethren, depends on what I've been written concerning you. I tell sometimes people say, why are you always in controversy? I say, I wish I am not. But by the grace of God, I am conscious that I'm set for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Masekitoria. There must be a reason why God, when I got saved, why didn't I go to all these other churches? Why did I come among the brethren? Why did I come where the high voltage? I started from high voltage. The high voltage. Brethren, let me just use this opportunity to say, when I got born again, I remember people like late Brabolu and all of them. He said he knew me from when I was Brabolu, Brother Ludiji. Those two men, they knew me from when I was, even before I entered the university. They knew when I was a DJ. They knew when I was, so one day, two days, when I was following Bob Marley and all of them all about. And I was, when I look back, I wondered what agony these people with Brabasi, my sister, and all of them had when they were praying for me. And so anytime I wake up, I say, Lord, these people's investments in my life cannot be a waste. Amen. And so this morning I challenge the youth. My message is not so much for the older people. I speak to the youth. Nathaniel, all of you, Kolapo, I speak to you. You better wake up. Our God is a generational God. He said we must serve him from one generation to another. I think it must have been 2018, 2019, before COVID. I will sleep, and I will have a dream. And I will see some of the fathers. And when I say some of the fathers, I'm talking about your generation. And I would just say somebody called me and say, Tokes. And they will bring out some documents and they are giving it to me. So at the first time, I didn't understand until it kept on repeating. Sometimes I will see somebody like Brother Izudu. I would just say, Tokes. It will look as if it's real, and sometimes we're passing some documents and say, wrong with it. Sometimes, in fact, the one I saw, Brother Bolu, after some time, I kept on asking God, so what is the meaning of this? And that, then the Lord said, I blind your life. All these men that have done some things in your life, they are telling you, run. Run in a way that when they look at you, they will be satisfied with the years that they poured into your life. And I speak to all the young men that are listening to me right now that you need to run and contend for the faith. Listen, contend, the word contend is a military word. It means fight. It means make sure that the ancient landmark is not removed. Amen. The ancient landmark is not removed, which our fathers have said. And I ask the question, what did our fathers say? Yes. Hey, Kabusha. Brethren, remember, fathers, I'm not talking to you. Those I'm talking to, I'm sure this is going to be recorded. Remember, all these fathers are treasures. They are libraries. Relate with them. Communicate with them. Take advantage. My biological father, I learned this. You know, you can use biology, you can use the natural sometimes to understand the spiritual. I sat down in Lagos. My father was in Ibadan. And I took everything for granted. I remember the last time I saw him alive. It was because I was under pressure. My older sister came back with Brabasi, and they were living with him in the bedroom. And you know how foolish I was? I felt jealous. Can I make you laugh a little bit? When my sister was in the U.S., and Brabasi, I was the darling boy. As soon as they came back, my sister took over, as usual, as the darling girl. And I got angry, and I said, okay, all right, I'll stay in Lagos, be there with your golden girl, all right? And so my dad was sick, and they kept on telling me, and I said, I'll come. Until one day I got to church, Pastor Oladile said, pack your things. Start going to Ibadan right now. I said, what? He said, no, you won't stay in the service. Go. Your dad has been sick, you wouldn't go. Yeah, go. And I left. When I got there, for the first time, I've never seen this man in that state. I've never imagined my dad could be sick in this world. When I got there, I was shaking. I ran. What drug do you have? I started running up and down. My brother and my sister were looking at me. You just come now. Now, if I had learned lesson, after one day I stayed with him, and I was going to Lagos, and he said, for the first time, my dad will not leave his house. And he said, Tokes, I want to come and spend some time with you and the twins. And I said, okay, dad, okay, no worry. Let me go back to Lagos in another 1 or 2 weeks. I'll come and pick you. I thought he was joking. I went back to Lagos. I forgot about it. About 3 or 4 Saturdays after, Rabasi showed up in my house and said, Tokumbo, daddy has expired. You know, Barabasi is very blunt. I said, expire what? He said, expired. I drove all the way down with him to Ibadan that day. And the man was gone. And everybody kept on saying, Talks. For the past 1 week, he has been telling everybody, I'm going to Lagos, I'm going to spend some time. Why did you not show up? He hurt me. I felt bad. That's not the pain. When I later started meeting his friends, one of them is still alive, 96-year-old. And they would tell me, hey, Tokumbo, your father was like this. Your father was a man of wisdom. When we have problems, we go to meet him. He will be the one. He will tell us, come back. The late Bolaige said, hey, Papa, when there is trouble, when we go to meet him, we'll tell you, come back. He said, somehow, he will give you one advice. So, I looked at myself. Where was I when others were benefiting from his wisdom? The man that was his attorney sat my children down. He said, leave your dad. Let me talk to you about your grandfather. I decided to record it, told them all the stories about my father, and I was wondering, was this the man that I took for granted? Then I realized that in the realm of the spirit, it's still the same thing. Amen. As I finish, I want to say this. Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. People of God, I want to say one last statement with you. Matthew chapter 5. I I want to show you that there is a difference between coming to church and growing in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Many of us have had this, we know this particular thing they said, we call the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, right? Blessed, blessed, blessed. But let me show you something. I want to read. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that continued up to verse, can you give me verse 11? Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely, for my sake. 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, I want to show you something now. I used to say this. I would say I was there. Especially when I believe God gave me a revelation about what really happened. I hope it's not a sin to... I've never preached and stayed at one point for a long time. I've been trying to comport myself. Now, amen. Now, I want us to go back. And Jesus saw the multitude. Who did the multitude come for? Jesus. They came. The multitude came. They came for service. Jesus looked at them. Jesus didn't have emotional intelligence. The multitude came, they were seated. And Jesus just did like this. And he kept on climbing the mountain and did not say anything. He saw them. They were probably singing. And he went up the mountain. He did not say, follow me. He just went up the mountain. And when he got to the mountain, I'm sure in your mind you thought that he went to the mountain so that he can talk to everybody. No, sorry. He went to the mountain and sat. Hello? He went to the mountain and did what? Sat. The service of that day is on the mount. The only people that had that message were those who climbed. Will you sacrifice time to climb? Because all those that climbed, they were the ones that got to the realm of faith of being able to stand even after he was crucified. Ye are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It was not for the crowd. It was for those who climbed the mountain. He climbed the mountain. He did not preach. He taught. How many of us, the youths, are ready to climb the mountain? When I say climb the mountain, how many of you are ready to create time to sit with Papa? Quality time. How I wish I'm in Phoenix. You will be tired of me.
Spend some time.
I realize that you don't mentor anybody from the pulpit. Nobody can be mentored from the pulpit. You have to climb. You have to create time to sit with the wisdom of the elders. I believe that this white is not chalk. It's not chalk. All right. Before I came, I decided to do something about mine so that I will not be confused with the elders. So, you can look around, you see mine is black. So that you will not confuse me with Pastor Yato. You will not think that this guy that came from... No, I know my level. Hello? Amen? I know my level. Listen, grace is unidirectional. You know? Grace is unidirectional. Love is multidirectional. You can love God, God can love you. You can love Pastor Austin and he can love you. But grace is unidirectional. If I want his grace, I have to bow. I have to sit at his feet. Because grace only comes down. It takes the lesser to humble himself, to receive of the taller. Hallelujah. There are certain things that were spoken in those days, in the early 80s and the 90s, by these men. Thank God for technology that we could record them. Some of them I didn't understand a bit. Half of what he will preach in J.K. Randu, I just knew that after I finished speaking, I would start feel like jumping. But did I understand everything? But thank God I could record. As I grew up, I started playing them back. And I started understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. I know you are busy. Hello? I'm speaking to the youths. You are a youth if you are younger than me. That's the classification of youth today. If you are younger than me, you are a youth. Do you want me to tell you my age? Eh? Mind your business. Amen. Hallelujah. But no. I can tell you, in another, what's today's date? 10th. In another 1 month's time, I will be 65. You don't know the testimony about that. You don't know. You don't know the testimony. That is 50 extra years. Because when I was 13 years old, those of you living in Ibadan, you know UCH. UCH was probably one of the best hospitals in West Africa at that time. My case note was like this. I was always getting sick, always getting sick. My parents got tired. One day, I remember, 1973, my dad drove from Ekotedu to Ososani. We were alone in the car. They said, one man is from Ijebu. He just came back from the U.S. I didn't go to school. Those who know about blood, what do you call them? Hematologist. So we drove to him, and they did carry out a lot of tests. And at a point, I was in Form 3. He called my dad. Here, this is a testimony. He called my dad, and he said, I hope you have not invested too much on this boy. My dad said, what? He said, this guy is a sickle seller and he will not live beyond 15. This boy. He said, I will not live beyond 15. And that my parents should try and divert their attention to other kids. All right? And so my dad did not know that I have done some elementary science in school when I was doing chromosome, I was young. When we were driving back home, my dad used to be a man of faith. That was when I was wondering why he was doing. We drive for some time. So when we got home, they said, "Oh, Tokumbo, go and eat, whatever." Called my mom and started explaining to my mom. And when he got to that point, I said, "Tokumbo will not last." My mom shouted, "I refuse that. My son will not die. My son will live." That was what saved me. Yakuba Sila Handa. I pray that God will raise godly women. Without that statement, I don't know, I would have been forgotten. When I was 15, I was to write my school cert. I was already at home, sick again. It was the day I was to start the exam that I was taken back to school. There are certain people I will not forget. Will not forget people like Oludiji. When I was writing my school cert, everybody believed I was not going to pass. But he believed by faith and took a form. He took the polytechnic form for A-levels for me without telling my parents and filled everything and paid for it by faith. I went for the exam. I passed. In those days, sir, distinction, you have grade one, grade two, and all that. I missed grade one by 1 point. Okay? No, I think I had grade one, I missed distinction or so. Now my parents were confused. What are we going to do? We are, instead of taking form for A-levels, they took form for repeat. Because they thought I was not going to pass. Amen. Then here comes Brother Ludigi and said, "Listen, he's ready to go to poly. How?" I bought a form for him. Thank God for people of faith. That was how I became, I read my A-level. Okay, while I was doing my A-levels, 17, he will die. I passed 17. 21, he will die. 21, I was in effect. When I turned 21, I decided to paint the town red. Disco. But I got married. Now, I got saved. Then my uncle, when Lagos took us to one crusade, there's this man called Amao Pai. Greater Lagos for Christ was the name of that. I had not met the brethren then. I just knew that there were some people that my sister and their husband, they used. I know there's one book. I don't like that book. It's always talking about trouble. I know about the scroll book, but I'm afraid of that book. In fact, I always wish that the things in that book are false, because that's always scaring me. So I got born again, the Assemblies of God, and my uncle took me to that crusade, National Stadium. I'm sharing a testimony. And 5 days, on Friday night, the man was ministering, just stopped. He said, "The Lord said, within these 5 minutes, everybody should ask for just one thing. Just one thing. And we pray over it. And they will continue the message." And when it got to that point, I said, "Lord," I look at the sky, I said, "Lord, there's this controversy over my life. Whether I'm a sickle seller, whether I will die." As an engineering student, if I stay long standing, all my joints will be paining me. I said, "Lord, the only scripture I know is that if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Lord, if that word is true, drain everything in my body and let it be a new one." That was my prayer. I'm sharing this before God and men. Few weeks later, I got a letter of employment, a intent for employment from a company. And then they said we should do medical test. And I said, wow, problem. My mom was staying with us that, and my mom said, don't worry, go for the test. And we did the test because, and the result came, AA. So after that, I said, maybe there's a problem. Maybe there's a mistake. So I decided to do another one, AA. Excuse me, let me ask you a question. If God has done that for you, you will backslide? Now you can understand my song, My Lifetime. I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime. I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never Brakolapo, can you cue in that video of attack on the Bible? That's the last statement. Okay, all right. Okay, I'm still good with time. Attack on the Bible. Pookie, if you say anything. Yes, I just want to let you. I was just meditating one day, and the Lord said, my wife will probably be hearing this for the first time. I'll keep you strong. If you be a soldier against this, that will happen. I want you to look at what you have. Many of us are not aware that there is an attack on the Bible. I called one of my sons in South Africa and I said, I want something that will visualize. I told him what I want. Somehow, by the grace of God, in the last few years, God has given me children in different parts of the world. And all I just say is that this particular son, I just said, this is what is in my spirit. Like Lord, the way God wrote the dimensions of the temple in the concourse of the heart of David. And I told him, and he brought it out. Can you play it? No sound, no audio, just, it's going to be like the case of when God told Jeremiah. He said, go to the house of the potter, there I will speak with you. When he got to the house of the potter, God did not say anything. He was just speaking with him by illustrations. All right? Do you have? All right. Look at this. These are different issues of life. They start attacking the word of God in your heart. Everywhere I go, remember I'm speaking to the younger ones. Because the older ones don't need this. There is over-reliance on digital technology. Over-reliance on your phone, your iPad, your whatever.
And many of us are losing relationship with our paper Bible. I say this with all humility. I'm yet to see anybody that is that's a gadget man like me. On a normal day, I have 2 iPads working, and I have at least 4 phones, and all of them must be working. If you check my bag there, at least 4 of them are there. Why? Some of them are South African numbers, London numbers, American numbers, and all of them, because I need to be current. Sometimes maybe there's a transaction, my bank would like to call me to confirm. So all those things are there. And so I have enough of the toys. But brother, I don't fool myself. My paper Bible is superior. And let me warn you, for those of you who did not eat what we ate when Brother Frisbee and all of them were alive, excuse me, there's coming a time when there will be physical assault on the paper Bible. You will not even see them to buy. And you will now resort to the electronic Bible. How many of you do updates? Your phone, software updates. Are you? You do updates. You'll be surprised that some of these updates, they are embedded changes in the translation of the Bible. One day you'll be reading the Bible and they'll be talking about your Jesus as that guy. That guy up there. Then you will know where, if you don't have your paper Bible hidden somewhere, then you will know that you already entered one chance. We call something in Nigeria one chance. When you enter a bus and it is full of thieves and robbers, and they just take you to one corner and take everything you got and throw you out of the bus. All right? I'm preparing you. I go all over the world and warn people, don't rely on your laptop. Don't rely on your iPad, rely on your paper Bible. Artificial intelligence is now preaching the gospel. All right, I don't know your stand. I'm sorry, sir, you will correct any nonsense I preach here. I will have gone. Amen. I don't know your stand about this pandemic that they brought some time ago. They call it COVID. As far as I'm concerned, it was not a pandemic, it was a plandemic. All right? And by the grace of the living God, let's finish this. Can you look at the next slide? They're multiplying. Newer translations. False translations. Some of you, you are so careless. You open your spirit to every preacher on YouTube. Every preacher on YouTube, until your soul is corrupted. You don't know that some of them are sleeper cells. They were like, what's the name of that guy? The Al-Qaeda man. Bin Laden. Do you know that in so many, look, go to the UK, everywhere, there are sleeper cells of these jihadists everywhere. And they have the day that they will spring up. Yeah, I meet them all the time. I go to South Africa, I go everywhere, and I meet them. Listen, woe betide you, you invite me for a conference, and a motivational speaker is there. Motivational speaker, my message has changed. No matter what the message that I planned before, the moment a motivational speaker is there, he becomes my message. Because he has no right to be on the pulpit with me. He's not called. And many times people have told me, say, you will die. I say, okay, I'll go and meet Jesus. Amen. There was used to be a man in Nigeria called T.B. Joshua. Have you heard about him? T.B. Joshua. The man, the whole of Southern Africa took them. For 20 years, I withstood that man. And one day I told him, I said, one of us will leave this place. It's either God called T.B. Joshua, didn't call me, or call me and didn't call T.B. Joshua. I was in South Africa. My wife and I were one day. We were just waking up on a Sunday morning. By the time we woke up, we saw several calls, missed calls on the phone. And when they called, they said T.G. Joshua is dead. I said, I told you one of us will leave the scene. Now can you guys listen to me now? Excuse me, there are anointed ones at the end time. You may not see them here. But those of us that go on the field, you see pidons, so many of them. And you will have to stand on the ground that did God call me. And every day they are attacking that word, the Bible. Continue. And if you are not careful, one epistle is gone. They say the writings of Paul are just his own opinion. So they took one paper. You can see one paper is gone. Yesterday, somebody sent to me from Zambia, a message from another man of God who said the epistles of James, Peter, John, and all of them, he said they are rubbish. He's a preacher. He said because they are anti-African. Can you see the direction they're coming from? Pan-Africanism has become a religion. And they are attacking the faith of the people. At the end of the day, you don't know which part of the Bible you should believe on. Brethren, I tell you, as I speak, receive that commission. You young ones, stand your ground. Jesus is looking for those who will stand at this time. Amen. I told my children, I said, children, the day I stop, that's the day I will start aging. I said, I refuse to age. Now, if you think you are looking at a papa, no, I'm 21 years old. Amen. I'm daddy strong legs. Amen. Hallelujah. I refuse to agree that I'm aging. Amen. Because there is work to do. Amen. I'm telling you, Nathaniel, you abandoned me in Nigeria without telling me. Anyway, I just want you to know there is work to do. Your colleagues, Carl, all of them, I am shouting my head off, telling them that it will take some time. I may not be as strong as I used to be, but you guys, you have to take on the baton. Amen. And I speak to my children in South Africa, those in London right now. Remember, I told you that I will sit one day with my fathers. These are my fathers. Amen. Now I want to say that look at that illustration. Continue. You see, not only rats now, devils in different dimensions are now coming in. Continue. What is left? Is that the last one? Now, I want you to see the other one, the attack on the love of God in your heart. The love of God in your heart. As it's affecting the word of God, the love of God in our hearts start turning cold. You start doubting. Can this be true? Can that be true? Is God still alive? Hey, he's alive and kicking. And the koshila hande kabosha. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still saving. Next slide. That, look at that pizza as your heart. Let's see what happens. Next slide. Next slide. This is how God showed me. Next slide. When you start opening your spirit, one rat comes and makes a suggestion. This is not bad, right? The second one has come in. Yes, continue. Continue. You see those little ones now? Join them. Hey, let there be no ashes on the altar. Once you have ashes on the altar, all kinds of bugs will come. Look at what is remaining. May I ask us to bow down heads and talk to God? When he needs me, I will answer. When he needs me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere working for my God. Oh, I'll be somewhere preaching. I'll be somewhere teaching. I'll be somewhere working for my God. Oh, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere working for my God. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere. Be somebody here. You look at what has been happening in your life and you can say, oh, now I can see a gap where I ought to be and where I am now. I just want to tell you, he will not give you up. The Lord will not give you up. As long as you decide to stay in his hands. He's looking for those who will contend for the faith. Who will stand by the ancient landmarks. Who will rebel against the satanic culture. By Yekuriba Santiba. If there be someone here tonight, this afternoon, you want to rededicate your life to God. I'm talking to my young ones. Something is taking you out. You are getting attracted by Babylon. It's not too late. Come out of her, my people. It says, my people are crushed because of lack of knowledge. I just want you to know you are in the house where knowledge and the faith of God is available. Take advantage. Mashila Katima. Those who planned the pandemic, they are still alive. They are still planning whatever. But I can assure you, please don't let anything tamper with your DNA. The book of Hebrews said, he said, because he is the captain of their salvation, he took on flesh and blood. He did not take the flesh of angels. He did not take the nature of angels, but took on flesh and blood. That he might be the captain of their salvation. We are going to pray prayer now because things are coming, persecutions are coming, tough times are coming for those who will stand for Christ. During the lockdown, and they started with all this decree of COVID-19 passports and whatever. I went on my knees. I said, Lord, what is going to happen to my itinerant ministry? What's going to happen now? And the Lord said, leave that for me. Why are you anxious? That even if you have to travel by Philippine Airlines, I will make it available. You know what is called Philippine Airlines? Bodily transportation. Those are the things that we should be aspiring to now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. He that promised will make it to come to pass. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you praise. That the words that have been spoken today will go into the hearts of men and recharge them for the work that is ahead. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with your people. Lord, I pray that none of us will be victims of the words that have been spoken. Lord, I pray for all those that their hearts are charged tonight. That, Lord, your grace will be impacted afresh upon their lives. In the name of Jesus. Let light shine out of darkness. Let the treasure hidden in earthen vessel shine forth. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.